1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning for the message. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You follow as I read. I'm going to start reading in verse 12. And once again, I'm preaching from one of the last Bibles my mother had, and I've been reading through that in my devotions in the morning. I'm going to pass that off to one of my children one of these days, but not yet, but I do like reading. She was a note taker during preaching, and so reading her notes are very interesting. And her handwriting, you can still read. It was good handwriting, unlike other people's handwriting that we know, unlike some of your handwriting that I just have read a bunch of. Hard to make sense of it, but anyway, it's all right. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in our Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says this, starting in verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." So we come down to the text for this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Michael Jordan, probably the greatest basketball player ever, in the middle of his great basketball career, said, "You know what? I think I'll try baseball." And so he left the NBA, and he was in the minor leagues, where they travel on old dusty old buses. And Michael Jordan was a great athlete, but he found out one little problem in baseball. He couldn't hit the curveball. And he failed as a minor league player. They would have put him in the majors if he was any good at all, just because everybody would have come out just to see him in the uniform. Sometimes when you start out down a road, there's a curveball there. There's an old Marine quote, and I don't want to act like I'm a veteran or anything like that, or that I know anything about it, but I do like this quote. It says, "When you get in the middle of the battle, fight the fight, not the fight plan." In other words, the battle may change. You'd be foolish to fight what the fight plan is, because it may not be an actual situation. There's a guy from Nebraska. He was governor. Then he was United States Senator. One time he ran for president. His name was Bob Kerry. He was born in Nebraska. He's kind of an interesting guy, self-made millionaire. Anyway, one of the times that he was running for office, a book came out trying to scandalize him, trying to charge him with war atrocities. And they said in this book, turns out it's not true, but they said in the book that he was in command of a group. He was in Vietnam. He was in command of a group that shot and killed women and children. Wasn't true. But anyway, he was telling a story, and so they were asking in a press conference, whatever, they were asking Bob Kerry, and different ones had asked him this, and he said something kind of interesting. It relates to where I'm going today. He said, "Well, let me explain to you how war is." He said, "Because I was there and you weren't." He said, "I went to Vietnam," and he said, "You took draft deferments to not go to Vietnam." He said, "So I'll just explain to you what war is like, because obviously you don't have any idea." So he said, "What happens in war is that when they're firing on you, real bullets, you fire back. And you keep firing back till they're not firing at you anymore." He said, "That is what war is." He said, "Now, once again, you don't know it because you're sitting in your chair at home. When I was in Vietnam, and Bob Kerry, he lost two legs in the service of our country. So when he's talking about war, he knows what he's talking about." It's kind of interesting. This morning I want to preach from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, a message entitled Battle Plan. What is the battle plan? Two concerns draw me to this text, draw me to this message. So let me just draw this out just for a second. The first concern is young people that are trained that do not go into the ministry. That are trained. Sometime in your life, maybe you've said you were called, but you do not go in the ministry. I want to just read a passage, Psalm 78, verse 9 through 11. "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed him. The first thing that concerns me is that people that never go into the ministry. What should you do when you get down to college? You should go into the ministry. There's a lot of places to go. You don't really have to look that hard to find a place to go. We're in a different time period, an interesting time period, and if you want to serve in the ministry, you can find a place to go. Whatever your ministry is, whatever your desire is, there's a place for you to go. And can I just say, a lot of people in the past, if they couldn't find a place, they made a place. They started a place. Here's a place. Here's something to do. First thing is, concerns me, we're not into the text yet, but we'll get there in just a second, is people not going into the ministry. Second of all, is people changing their doctrine or their practice after they're in the ministry. The Bible says in Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus, he said, but none of these things, and he's talking in that context of persecution and trials, he said, but none of these things move me. In other words, they don't move me from carrying out God's will. They don't move me from doing what God has for me to do. So here we have in our text this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, we have the Apostle Paul speaking to his young son in the faith, his preacher boy, his one that he had trained, Timothy. The Apostle Paul is just about near the end of his life in ministry, and he so wants that ministry to continue on. He so wants the work of God to continue on. And so we must follow the Lord. We must follow his battle plan if we're going to be faithful to him. And in our text verse this morning, I see four specific aspects of that battle plan that we need to watch out for. First of all, 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, take heed unto thyself. The first aspect of the battle plan is your conduct. Your conduct. He says, take heed how you are living. Take heed to your own life. It's interesting. First of all, under conduct, this is a command. God is giving an imperative. He says, take heed unto thyself. He says it's a command. What should we do with the New Testament commands? We should obey them. We should follow them. We should follow in submission to the Lord. And the Lord has said, if you want to serve the Lord, first of all, he said, take heed unto yourself. Take heed unto yourself. That's hard to do. You know that? It's much easier to watch others. In fact, can I suggest that a problem we may have, our little group here this morning, we've become experts at pointing out where everybody else is wrong. Boy, we are good at it. We can say this, we can say that, they did this wrong, they're doing this wrong. Sometimes I'm afraid that's all we can produce if we're not careful. It's not what Paul said to Timothy. He said, first of all, take heed unto thyself, your own life. Who's supposed to watch your life? You are. God is working in your heart and life. God is teaching you certain things. Take heed unto yourself. First of all, it's a command. Second of all, it's a caution. Don't spend time watching others because you're going to lose track of watching yourself. You go into the ministry, the challenge is going to be that you can spend a lot of time watching others. You can spend a lot of time pointing out where others have fallen short, where others are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. At the same time, we're supposed to watch ourselves. And thirdly, it's a concern. Because what he's saying is if you don't watch yourself, you can get off track. You can allow things into your life. You can allow things into your situation, into your ministry that you never intended to do. Now, here we are talking about living the Christian life. The Apostle Paul is talking about living the Christian life. And we all know that we have different views on different things. We look at things differently. Here's the thing. Here's what most people do, and you have to be careful of this. Now, listen to me carefully. Most people say, anybody to the left of me is carnal and backslidden because they do some things that I don't think are correct to do. The problem is then everybody to the right of me, they're a nut. They're like a certifiable nut. They won't do this, they won't do that. And so what you do is that side, they're weak. This side, they're too strong. I'm just right. We all do that. Now the problem with that is the standard has become myself. That's where the problem is. Because if you operate on that mindset And may I just suggest to you, sometimes we all have that tendency. If we operate on that mindset, it doesn't even matter where we shift or what we do, we're still in that same position. We can always find somebody to the left of us. We can always find somebody to the right of us. And then we can justify ourselves, because even while we're changing, we can justify ourselves. Some of you are already setting desires to change what you have been taught from your home pastor, from your parents. You're already setting a desire, but here's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. Take heed unto yourself. You watch your own life. You know what's right or wrong. God is dealing in your heart and life. God is trying to convict you. Set a standard that I am going to watch my life. Why? Because he said to do it. He said, first of all, watch your conduct. Watch your conduct. Watch how you live. Second of all, the second thing in verse 16 is watch your creed. First of all, your conduct. Second of all, your creed. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Interesting verse in Ephesians 4:14, talking about in that passage, Ephesians 4, the ministry of the local church, the gift of the pastor and others. And he said in verse 14, he says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, that's a great description of today. A doctrine is a set of beliefs. A doctrine is teaching. And we have the wind of teaching. Now, doctrine should be settled, because doctrine should be based on the Bible, the Word of God. Nothing else. It can't be based on anything else. It can't be based on a preacher, because that preacher could change. It can't be based on an institution, because that institution can change. It's supposed to be based on the Bible, on the Word of God. In other words, we believe what the Bible says. We stand on what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't change. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now, we all know the winds of doctrine have always been blowing. They were blowing in the first century. They're blowing pretty strongly today in the 21st century. I'm concerned not only for the different winds of doctrine that are out there today, but I'm concerned for what's going to come up in the next 5 years or the next 10 years that we never covered, that we never talked about. Because it's going to happen. It's just the nature of it. So we need to have a set of beliefs. Do you see in the text how what you live, how you live is tied together with what you believe? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed is implied when we get to doctrine, because it's so closely linked with how you live. John R. Rice used to have this little saying he gave out in sermons, and I like it. John R. Rice, headed to the Sword of the Lord, passed away in 1980. Heard him preach only one time, but in person. And he said this, it's pretty good. He said, right living leads to right doctrine. And right doctrine leads right back to right living. In other words, what he's saying is this. If you base your doctrine on the Bible, you'll live right. If you base how you live on what the Bible says, you'll live right. Right living leads to right doctrine. Here's what's going to happen. It could happen to some of you. It's happened in history. It's happened to some of our former graduates. It's happened to people in the past. They believed something until their life changed. And then they said, you know what? Maybe the Bible doesn't really teach that. Now, that's a little hard to say, because the Bible never changed. What changed? Your circumstance, your situation, your life experience. And so what he says is right living leads to right doctrine. And right doctrine leads back to right living. How can we stay anchored to the truth? People around us are shifting. Social media is encouraging us to shift. How can we stay anchored? We stay anchored to the Bible. We stay anchored to the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God doesn't change. It's there as an anchor. Be careful about who you anchor yourself to. Even anchor yourself to some great preacher. He could change. His situation could change. We're not anchored to a person. We're anchored to the Bible, to the truth of God. Now, what John Rice would also say is this. The opposite is also true. Wrong living leads to wrong doctrine. And wrong doctrine, changing your doctrine, changing what you believe, leads back to wrong living. So if we're not careful, we can base our living on something other than the Word of God. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed unto how you live, and take heed unto what you believe. Thirdly aspect of it, would you see in the verse, he says this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. Continue in them. Third aspect is a commitment. Is a commitment. Each one of these first three phrases are imperatives. Take heed and now continue. The idea is God is giving us a command. And the command is to continue. The command is to not only start right, but the command is to continue. Notice what the verse says. It says, continue in them. Continue in both of those things, taking heed unto yourself and taking heed unto the doctrine. You continue in both of them. You stay faithful to right living and you stay faithful to right doctrine, right teaching. One time early on in our days in Nebraska, we eventually spent 26 years there at that church. One time early on, and the early years were rough, they were challenging. I was sitting, I always said this, Sunday school started at 10, church started at 11, service got done 11:59, at 12 o'clock the whole building was cleared out. That's not the sign of a good church, you know what I mean? You're supposed to linger just a little bit more than that. But anyway, one time my wife was at home cooking Sunday dinner, and I was sitting on the back row, and I was having a pity party. I was trying to have it with the Lord, but the Lord was not participating. But I wanted to have a pity party with the Lord, and I wanted to tell the Lord how hard it was. And I wanted to tell the Lord how difficult it was. And like I said, the Lord was not participating in my pity party. While I was sitting there, a guy walked in. By now it's about 12:30. He's a guy that I knew. He hadn't been in church that morning. And he sat down and he said, Pastor Luke, and he said, I got a question. Do you think you could help me with it? I said, sure, I'll try. So he had a little question. We talked for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and he left. He's been in church in the 26 years I passed there. He was in the building 6, 7, 8 times, never became a faithful person. But when he walked out, it's like the Lord said to me, he said, you know what? If you would stop pitying yourself, there's a ministry here. There's a ministry that you can have here if you would quit trying to find a way to leave, and instead you'd find a way to stay. And he walked out, and you know what? I said, Lord, could you use somebody that's never going to become a faithful part of this church? Could you use that to teach me a lesson? Yes. Continue in them. It's going to be hard to continue. I think it's a nature, it's an aspect of our human nature that anytime something gets difficult, gets challenging, gets hard, we would like to see where's the first exit. I understand that. I totally understand that. But I've thought many times about how God used somebody that never even became a part of the church to teach me to stay. I thought, wow, I could have missed a lot of blessings. I would have missed a lot of blessings. It says here this simple word, continue. Continue. That's a challenging word, isn't it? When we want to quit. Now, there's going to be days you're going to really want to go forward. There's going to be exciting days in the ministry. Boy, there's going to be some great days. Can I just suggest to you there's also going to be some challenging days? There was a guy who was pastoring a church in Lincoln. He's still there. And he was younger than me. Of course, most of society is younger than me right now, so it's all right. But anyway, he said, came up to me, he said, can I ask you a question? I bet that time I'd been in the church in Fremont, and I was 16, 17, 18 years. I said, sure. He said, how do you stay in one place that long? He said, they're driving me crazy. I said, here's a little outline. I stole it from somebody else. All my best outlines I stole from somebody else. This outline today is all my own. But anyway, I stole my best outlines. Here's a little outline, and I want you to say it to yourself. Number one, when the people want me to stay, I'll stay. Number two, when the people want me to leave, I'll still stay. Number three, when I want to stay, I'll stay. And here's number four, when I want to leave, I'll stay anyway. First summer, two summers ago, we went to Nebraska. We went to that guy's church, and his wife came up to me. She says, you remember that little four-point outline you gave my husband? By now, it's 10 years ago or so. I said, yeah. She said, we say it at our house every Sunday night. I said, sister, I know exactly where you're coming from there. She says, in fact, sometimes during the service, he'll mouth it at me. Remember that four-point outline? I said, no, I understand exactly where you're going. What's the whole point of it? There's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be blessings. Oh, there's going to be some incredible blessings. People are going to get saved. Lives are going to get changed. But life's not always that way. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some challenging services, some challenging times. In the midst of that, what did Paul say to Timothy? Continue in them. Do you think Paul understood, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there's that tendency in all of us, listen carefully, students, when the going gets tough, we leave? Can I just suggest to you, nobody that ever did anything for God ever did that? Think Aaron Am Judson had any bad days in Burma? Oh man, he had a boatload of them. William Carey, think he had any hard times on the mission field? You think Charles Haddon Spurgeon had any hard times in his great ministry? He was preaching one time in a wood building a long time ago, different environment. Somebody way up in the back yelled fire. There was no fire. They were just against Spurgeon. And in the stampede that happened after that, 6 or 7 or 8 people were stampeded to death. Spurgeon immediately was depressed. He said, I'll never go in the pulpit again, because he said every time he went in the pulpit, there was 5,000 plus people there to listen to him. And he says, I caused that. And God said, no, you'll go back in the pulpit again. You'll absolutely go back in the pulpit again. All I'm saying is this. Somebody that's had a successful ministry, been faithful to the Lord, it's not because there was never any problems. It's not because there was never any difficulties. There's always difficulties. There's always trials. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Continue in them. Find a place where God has for you to serve. Find the ministry that God has for you and be faithful in that. Let's not be jumping the ship every time something isn't going the exact right way. He said to him, continue in them. Be faithful. Have a commitment to the work of Christ. Have a commitment to those who you have an opportunity to reach. And boy, I tell you what, there's just some people, all kinds of people across America, faithful people, small places. Nobody knows their name, but I tell you what, they've held the banner of the cross high. They're preaching, they're reaching people, they're trying to see people saved. Nobody's going to know their name till we get to heaven, but I tell you what they did. They continued. They had a place and they said, this is it. This is right here. This is exactly what God has for me to do. I tell you what, there's places like that all around the world. There's people we don't know who their names are and they're just faithfully serving the Lord. Had they have some hard times? Oh, yes. Had some discouraging times? Had people turn away from them? Absolutely. But you know what they did? They had a place and they dug in. And they said, this is what God has for me to do. First of all, watch our conduct. Second of all, watch our creed. Thirdly, watch our commitment. Fourthly, see the fourth aspect of the battle plan as we see the conclusion in verse 16. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Here's the thought now. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, it's not that complicated to understand, but let's just look at it. For in doing this, what is that? It's taking heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. For in doing this, can you do that? Boy, he's not talking about how much ability you have. He's talking about how much faithfulness do you have. He's not talking about people that have all kinds of ability, all kinds of great things that they can do. He's talking about somebody that just says, listen, this is what God has called me to do, and I can do that. I will do that. He says, for in doing this, he's talking about your faithful service. Then he says this, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. Now he's talking about the saving of a life. He's talking about the saving of a ministry. He's talking about the saving of a testimony. He's not talking about somebody being saved from hell, but he's talking about the saving of your life and your ministry. You can take it by being faithful to what's true. And he says you can save yourself. Boy, what a challenge that is. There's a little church south of Lincoln in Nebraska. Church has been going like about 20 years, something like that. We helped it out. I went down to the Bible school the first year they started, and 20 years they've had like 6 pastors. And a guy will come in all fired up. He'd be all fired up for about 6 months, and then he'll lose his fire. And of the 6 pastors, a couple of them aren't even living for the Lord today. They got so discouraged. Somehow, there's this little group of people there that won't quit. Just faithful church people. You know, they got a little church building. They got a little gravel parking lot. It's on a street. You wouldn't even know it was. You'd drive right by it and not even realize it's church. But every Sunday, there's about 10, 15, 20 people that just won't quit. I like somebody that won't quit, don't you? I like somebody that has something good and they just stick with it. I think because there's so many quitters out there. I think we just live in a day where if it's hard, we'll go to this place, we'll go to that place. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself. Think about that. We're not talking about education, college degree, very important. We're talking about your ministry, your life after that. You can save yourself. Think about that. I can do something. I can be faithful to God. I can be what God wants me to be, and I can save my life, save my ministry. Thou shalt both save thyself. But he says in that same verse, take heed unto yourself. Watch your own life. You're going to watch your own life. Take heed unto what you believe. Boy, the winds are going to blow strong. Try to distract you. Try to take you down a different road. Everywhere we go, what we believe, the doctrine we teach is being battled, fought against. But he says, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. That kind of person will hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe nobody will know who they are. Maybe nobody will know outside of their own territory who they were or what they ever did. God knows exactly what you've done. We're serving a God who's never going to forget one thing that we've done for him. I rejoice in that. It says this, but thou shalt both save thyself, last part of verse 16, and them that hear thee, the ministry, reaching others. Paul wanted Timothy to continue on. Paul wanted Timothy to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a desire for Timothy's life to be used. Now, in the midst of the battle, once again, I've never been at war. I was in that generation where we didn't go, didn't have to go. My brothers went to the Vietnam conflict. So I don't act like I'm not trying to act like I know anything about war, but I do kind of understand the basic principle. There's a battle plan. We're trying to win the battle. We want you to win the battle. We want you to be faithful to the Lord. There's a place for God for you to serve. There's something for you to do. There's a place that you can go. And he says, and them that hear thee. What's that? That's reaching other people. Seeing other people say, seeing others' lives changed. What a great lesson that is. I still go back to that war hero, Bob Carey. And he said, because you don't know war, he said, let me just slow down and explain it to you. I'll go real slow here. He said, when they're firing real bullets at you, you got to start to think a little differently. I like that. I don't know in the ministry they're going to fire real bullets at us, but you understand the metaphor. Let's take it and use it for the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's be faithful to him as he has called us to be faithful. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. And I pray, Lord, that you take this verse, this thought, Lord, and use it in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, to be exactly what you have for us to be, dear Lord. And we pray that each one of these young people would be faithful to follow what you've called them to do. Lord, work in their life. Lord, you know the needs, you know the situation, you know each circumstance, Lord. And I pray that you'd work in and through us this morning and teach us, Lord, how to be faithful to you, Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.